Let's take our Bibles over to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2, a season to ponder. We'll begin with verse 1 of this portion of the Christmas story. And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, every one into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. Ye shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly, there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Lord, I do pray that you'd bless our time here this morning in your word, with your Holy Spirit working. Lord, that you would help us to ponder appropriately the truth not only of what we've just read, but the important realities of what you're doing today. Lord, we thank you for this. We love you. Thank you for loving us so much to give your Son so that we might be saved. Thank you for the plan, the future you have for each of your children in heaven's bliss. Thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. A season to ponder. The Bible tells us that Mary pondered. Mary pondered these things. Notice Luke 2, 19 and 20. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Think of all the thoughts that were going through Mary's mind. I mean, here she had been a virgin, a young girl, waiting to get married. She was espoused to Joseph, a fine man who loved the Lord, and she was just waiting for that. All this happened in her life. All of a sudden, she's with child miraculously. And then there's all kinds of disturbances in their life, like taxes. Taxes were on the rise. Everybody had to go and pay their taxes and make this unbelievably long journey to their hometown. And it was distressing. It was a burden in their lives. And then they get there, and there was no place to stay. And Joseph checked here and he checked there, and they couldn't find any place to stay except the barn, the stable, the place where the other travelers' animals were kept. But there they found some straw, some hay, and a feeding trough. And that night, Jesus came into the world. That night, a little baby was born. And Mary swaddled that baby in those clothes and loved the child. And at the same time, on the hillside, where some ordinary men were just doing their job. Some men who knew God. Some men who loved the Lord. Some men, I believe, who looked expectantly for God's promise. And those men were sitting there out on the hillside on that cool evening like they had many times before, gazing perhaps at the stars, listening for any wild animals in the distance. They were watching over their sheep, talking amongst themselves, perhaps relaxing on the ground, pondering, maybe praying, maybe talking and visiting amongst themselves. And all of a sudden, the sky was bright, and an angel appeared to them. Now they were afraid. They were scared to death, grown men, working men, strong men, men who had chased off wild animals and coyotes. And you know what? They were scared. They were afraid and terrified. There was an angel, a huge light in the sky, and an angel talking with them. And the angel said, "Fear not." Why? Why? Because they were afraid. They were scared. They were trembling. The angel had great news. And that's what the angel said. "Behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy." Wow. The Messiah has come. And the shepherds went with haste into town to see this thing that had come to pass, which the Lord had made known unto them. And they departed, glorifying and praising God. They told everybody they knew. They told everybody they passed what was happening. But most people didn't pay much attention to what they had to say. A season to ponder. You know, in this season of life, most people are very busy. They're going about their duties and about their work, and some loving God, some seeking God. Others just going through life, not thinking much about what God is up to. How is it with us? Are we going to take time to ponder? This Christmas season, are we going to take time to think about what God is doing? I want you to think about a couple of things. Three aspects today I'd like you to think about in this season to ponder. First of all, what is God up to in this world today? Let's ponder. What is God doing? What is He up to in this world today? You know what? Did you know what? When Mary was espoused to Joseph, there had been many years, no one had heard from God. No one, there was no scripture written For 400 years, God had left them with the promise that one would come. In fact, the last book of the Old Testament, Malachi, I believe it's chapter 3 and verse 1, tells us that there was going to be a messenger. God said, I will send my messenger to go before the face of him, my servant. And it talked about John. John would be the messenger that would go before the Messiah. And God there calls him Elijah. The great prophet Elijah would come. Now Elijah had already come, but this was referring to John, God's messenger. And then God says that he would send the messenger of the covenant. The messenger of the covenant. That is Jesus, the Messiah, the one who would fulfill God's promise of salvation. What was God doing? God was working. I'll tell you, what is God doing in our world today? God is daily engaged in the lives of people. God is daily engaged in the lives of people. When Jesus returned back to heaven, he told us that he would send the Holy Spirit. When Jesus left, he said he would send the Holy Spirit. And you know what Jesus said? When the Holy Spirit comes, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit came 2,000 years ago when Jesus ascended back to heaven. The Holy Spirit came to this earth. And he is working in this world today. He's working in lost people all around this globe to convict them of their sin, to convince them of God's righteousness, and to warn them of coming judgment against sin. The Holy Spirit is working today. Oh, my friend, we may be sitting on a hillside looking at a starlit sky, and we may wonder where God is or what God is up to, like the shepherds may have. But God was working. God was working. We don't always see what he's up to, but we know one thing. God is engaged in working in the hearts and lives of people. Not only in the people of this world, in sinful people, to help them, to bring them to repentance and faith in Christ. God is working. People are coming to Christ all over the world. But also God is working in the hearts of his people, a work of sanctification to make us more like Christ. God is at work today working, and those of us who would give our attention to the Word of God, God wants to work in every heart. God wants to work. Did you know that God can work over here, and God can work over here, and God can work over here, and God can work over there? This morning there are many gathered under the preaching of God's word, all around the world. In the last few hours, people have gathered to lift their voices to praise the Lord, and people have sat to hear the proclamation, the preaching of Jesus. God wants to work in hearts. So what is God up to in this world today? He's convincing a sinful world of their sin. And he is calling them to repentance and to faith in Jesus. That's what God is doing. That's what the Holy Spirit is doing today. In the lives of his people, he is working to mold us more into Christ's likeness. That's God's plan. When we get saved, we're just a little baby in Christ. Just a little baby, and then we grow a little bit into just a toddler in the things of God. And then God wants us to grow more like Christ, more grounded in the faith. God wants us to grow, and God is willing to work. He desires to work. In fact, we see the end of each of these points is today, today, today. What is God up to in this world today? Jesus said, today, if you'll hear my voice, harden not your heart. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. Jesus said, today is the day of salvation. Today. God is working today in the lives of people. What is God up to? He's convincing a sinful world of their sin and their need for the Savior. He is calling Christians to a life of holiness and a life of service. Please notice Titus chapter 2, verse 11. It says here, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people zealous of good works." God is calling out a people by his grace that are godly, that are set apart for sacred use, that are zealous of good works, that are peculiar people. What is God up to in this world today? Well, I'll tell you what, he is daily engaged in the lives of people. Also, I want you to notice that he is right on schedule with his plans. Did you know that God's never late? Now, I'm late. I struggle with being on time. But you know what? God has never been late. God has never missed an appointment. He's never been unfaithful to his promise. Everything he has said he would do, he has done. He has done right on time. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 4 that in the fullness of the time, Galatians 4 verses 4 and 5, "But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons." In the fullness of the time. You see, God has a schedule, and God is right on schedule. His plans are being fulfilled, and so that's why it's so important that we get on God's schedule, that we get on with God's plan. Please notice Luke chapter 1, the Gospel of Luke chapter 1, verse 26. Luke 1 and verse 26. "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end." You see, God was working. God was working, and his working is right on time. One of these days, the Lord Jesus is going to come back. One of these days, in the eastern sky, Jesus is going to appear. And he is going to take his children home with him to heaven. One of these days, when he left, the book of Acts records how when he left, he said, he will return. The angel said, why do you stand here looking up into heaven where he left? One day he will return. In like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. You know what? God's plans are right on schedule. God knows what He's doing in this world. He has many He wants to bring to Christ. God is working. He is working. So what is God up to today? We've seen that He's working in this world. He's working in hearts. He's calling sinners to repentance and to trust Jesus as their Savior. He's calling believers, He's calling Christians to holiness, sanctification, and service. God is working. God is up to great things, just as He was on that night so long ago. Let's notice, secondly, not only what is God up to in this world, but secondly, who is God looking for to do His work today? Who is God looking for to do His work today? Well, first of all, I want to tell you that God is looking for ordinary people. God is looking for ordinary people. You know what? Mary was an ordinary girl. She was an ordinary girl. Joseph was just an ordinary guy. The shepherds, they were ordinary working men. I mean, that's what they did day in and day out. They kept the sheep. It was just a regular job. It was just what they did. It's what maybe their dads did. It's what they grew up doing. And here they are, grown men, just working and doing their work. Ordinary people. Ordinary people. And yet, that's who God is looking for. 1 Corinthians tells us to look around. It says, "For ye see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God hath chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things that are mighty." So, God says, anybody can serve me. Anybody can know me as their Savior. Anybody can live their life for me. Anybody can do my will. Just ordinary folks. We don't have to be really smart, really wise. We just have to have a heart that's open towards the Lord. And so God is looking for ordinary people. I want you to notice who God is looking for today. He's also not only looking for ordinary folks, but He's looking for sanctified people. Sanctified people. You see, Mary was a godly woman. She was a godly woman. She loved the Lord. She feared God. She feared God. She honored the Lord in her life. Mary was not a she was a sinner, yes. She was a sinner who needed a Savior. But Mary was a godly girl. She had kept herself for the Lord. She desired, I am sure, to serve the Lord with her life. She was a godly woman. Not everybody in her day was. Joseph was a godly man. In fact, the Bible says that he was a just man. He was a just man. He was a man who wanted to obey the Lord. He's a man who reverenced God in his life. You see, God is not just looking for yes, He's looking for ordinary people. We don't have to be something special. We don't have to be really smart. We just need to be a heart for God. We just need to open our heart to the Lord. But God is also looking for sanctified people. People who are seeking God. We think about Zacharias and Elizabeth in Luke chapter 1. The Bible says in verse 5 and 6, it says, "There were in the days of Herod the king of Judea a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abiah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they," verse 6, "were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinances of the Lord, blameless." Zacharias and Elizabeth were the parents although they didn't know it at the time, but they were going to be the parents of John the Baptist, the one who would preach, call people to turn from sin and to open their hearts to the Messiah who was coming. And John's parents were a godly couple. They were a godly couple. They for years had sought to serve the Lord. For years they had been faithful to God. Oh, they were sinners. They weren't sinless. They needed the Savior. But they were God-honoring people. They were blameless, the Bible says. Blameless. You see, when God looks into this world seeking who to work through, He is looking for those who are looking to Him. 2 Chronicles 16 verse 9 says this, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show Himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward Him." You know, I think about the wise men. The wise men that were studying the sky. The wise men who were seeking God, who were seeking in His Word. Probably those wise men were ones who would have known or at least been influenced by Daniel the prophet. And they were seeking for the one who was promised to come, the Messiah. You know what? They were men who feared God. They were men who were willing to put their whole lives on hold, to travel on a long journey, to go and kneel before and give great treasures to a baby. They were men who were seeking God. They were men who, amongst thousands, tens of thousands of people during that day, they were among a very few who came to see the wonder of Jesus. You see, most of the people on the birth of Christ, most of the people missed what God was doing. Most people had no idea what God was up to. And their hearts were not sensitive to what God was up to. God is looking for a sanctified people. People who, even though we don't necessarily know exactly what God has for our life, but we are going to stay right with God. We are going to keep our heart for God. We are going to love Him and not this world. We are going to obey Him and not our own stubborn flesh. And we are going to keep ourselves for the Lord. That is characteristic of the characters of the Christmas story. God is looking for not only an ordinary people, but a sanctified people. I think of Noah. In Noah's day, everybody was doing wicked things. In Noah's day, every other family was you know, spending their lives in wickedness. But Noah sought to raise his children to love God. Noah was a man of prayer. Noah was a man who believed God. He was a man of faith. The Bible says Noah walked with God. And the Bible tells us that Noah eschewed evil. The Bible tells us that Noah sought to honor God. And it also says that Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. If you would have lived in Noah's day, would you have been of the few who followed God? Or would you have been of the many who were going the way of the world? We could cite many biblical characters with similar qualities. People who were not sinless, not without their shortcomings and failures, but men and women who looked to God, who looked to God in faith, who believed what God had said. They were ordinary people, but they were sanctified people, and they were submissive people. They were submissive people. I think of Mary. When God spoke to her and through the angel revealed what was going to happen, she said, she submitted herself. She said, "Be it unto me according to thy word." Joseph was an obedient man. Matthew chapter 1 verse 24 tells us that after Joseph wrestled one night with what to do with Mary, who he felt had been unfaithful to him, when the angel spoke to him in a dream that night, Joseph, the Bible says, being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Joseph was an obedient man. The Bible says in Isaiah 66 and verse 2, "But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit and trembleth at my word." In these last days, which are compared to the days of Noah, the Bible says that in the last days it will be like the days of Noah. Many people living in sin, many people doing wickedness, and few with a heart for God. In these days where there's unrest in our world, political disturbances, you know what? That's how it was when Jesus came into the world. Taxes were on the rise. Rulers were overbearing. You know what? The mundane things of life were burdensome. But you know what? God was working. So, what is God up to in the world today? Well, we know He's up to great and mighty things. Who is God looking for to do His work today? Well, He's looking for ordinary people who are seeking Him. Ordinary people. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, seeking for those whose heart is perfect towards Him. Where is God taking those who follow Him today? Ultimately to heaven, yes. You see, we need to get on God's bandwagon. We need to get alone with God. You see, three words could sum up where God is taking those who follow Him. Listen carefully. Three words. Where is God taking those who follow Him today? Number one, He's taking us closer to Himself. Number two, He's taking us deeper in our walk with Him. And number three, He's taking us higher. Closer, deeper, higher. That's what God's purpose and plan is. Where is He taking us? Closer to Himself. Closer, the Bible says in Psalm 25, verse 14, "The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him." The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Matthew 12, verse 50 says, "For whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and my sister and my mother." You know what Jesus was saying to the crowd who asked Him, or the crowd who said, "Hey, your mom, your mother and your brethren are here to see you." And Jesus said, Jesus turned around and said, "Who is my mother and who are my brethren?" "Those who do the will of my Father." You see, it's about following Jesus. It's about discipleship. Closer. We have closer fellowship. It's about deeper. Let's go to James chapter 1 in our Bibles. James chapter 1. This deeper part is not always comfortable. James chapter 1 tells us a little bit about the deeper things of the Christian life. Going deeper with the Lord James chapter 1 reminds the brethren here, those who know Christ, of what God is up to, of where God is taking us. And notice James 1 verse 2. My brethren, count it all joy. What's that next word? When. When is describing something that's going to happen. It's not a if it's going to happen, it's when. My brethren, count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. When you fall into all kinds of different trials. Verse 3. Knowing this, that the trying of your, what's the next word? The trying of your faith. You see, what is God, where is God taking those who follow him? Well, number one, he's taking us closer. But number two, he's taking us deeper. And the only way for us to get deeper is to go through the refiner's fire. Deeper. There are trials, there are tribulations that God brings, that God allows. Why? To bring us deeper, to make us better, to make us stronger, to grow our faith. And the Bible says here that the trying of your faith worketh patience. And let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. You see, if we're going to mature as a Christian, if we're going to go deeper with the Lord, it's not going to be without hardship. So where is God taking those who follow him? He's taking them by way of the cross. Except a seed fall into the ground and die, Jesus said, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. You see, when God takes us deeper, Christ-likeness is formed in us. When we are closer and when we go deeper, Jesus is seen in our life. Also, the third word is higher. God is taking us higher. 1 Peter 5, verse 6 tells us, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. Where is God taking us? Down a road of humility, that he might take us higher. Please go over to John 12. The Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 26. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, read the last part of this verse, him will my Father honor. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. You see, when we're following Jesus, that's where God's taking us. When we follow him, God takes us closer to himself. God takes us deeper in our faith. And God takes us higher with him. With him. Yes, indeed. Ultimately, one day, God will take us indeed higher into his holy presence, eternally forever with him in glory. Yes. It is worth it all to live for Jesus. The Bible says, if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. It's a great honor to serve the Lord. It's a great privilege to live for Christ. Let's be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. How is it with you? In this Christmas season, as we think about the events of 2,000 years ago, in a little quiet town, well, maybe it wasn't quiet that night, in the hustling, bustling little town, God was working. And in our lives, God is working. In our world, God is working. He's convincing people of sin. He's calling people unto Himself. God is looking for those whose heart is perfect towards Him, that He might work through us. And God is taking us closer, deeper, and higher. Will you be like one of the many on Christmas so long ago who missed what God was doing? Or will you be one of the few whose heart is seeking the Lord and who come to worship Him? Lord, we thank You for Your word. Thank You for this season to ponder. Help us to consider carefully what You are up to, and in faith to recognize You are engaged. You are at work. Your plans are being worked out on time, on schedule. Lord, help us to recognize the importance of walking with You and listening to You and following You. Thank You for what You're doing in our lives, in our church. Lord, I pray that You would get the glory. I pray that You would indeed draw us closer. Yes, deeper. And yes, higher. In Jesus' name, amen.